What issues are most important for the 2017 General Assembly going forward?
I think it's obviously the budget. We're now at 2 years without a permanent budget. The stopgap budget expired at the end of last year, so moving forward, we have no appropriation. And I think in many people's mind, the first priority really needs to be a budget, getting a spending plan, and providing some stability in state government that we've not had the past 2 years.
What specific legislation do you plan to propose or co-sponsor in the new session?
I think an important piece of legislation will deal with how we fund education in this state. We have one of the most inequitable and unfair funding systems in the country. We rely heavily on property taxes. That's bad because our property tax rates are high as a result of our funding formula. And it's been especially damaging to those districts that have a large number of low-income students and low property values. And the Rockford School District comes to mind. And when you have a system that relies so heavily on property taxes, when you don't have a lot of property tax wealth in these communities, it's very difficult for them to generate the adequate resources necessary to provide an adequate education. So I plan to be a part of and involved in trying to change the way we change funding in the state to make sure that all school students, no matter the zip code, has access to a quality education.
So I take it most of that would involve tweaking the formula itself?
Well, tweaking the formula and also making sure that you have factors involved in any distribution formula that takes into account a large number of low-income children in the district, the values of property in a particular school district, and other factors such as the number of students that require English as a second language program. Clearly, we have a large discrepancy in the ability of school districts across state to fund education, and so you need to change the formula to provide a more fair formula.
Any other specific legislation you'd like to highlight?
Well, one thing I'm probably going to be involved with is an effort to make sure that corporations and larger stores provide there's over the past 5 or 10 years, I think there's an ability of what's called these big box stores to try to get their property tax payments lowered, and they try to get their assessed valuations reduced. And I think it's been very systematic, and it's been difficult for a lot of municipalities when they've had these big box stores that have been able to lower their property values, and that's caused a huge hit in revenue to cities and other local governments. And I think if the property values need to be reassessed, I think all township assessors are willing to do that. But I think there needs to be an approach that's fair and it doesn't cause unnecessary financial problems for local governments.
What are your thoughts on the status of state budget negotiations?
Talks continue behind the scenes, and I think a lot of rank-and-file lawmakers have been involved in some very productive negotiations. But I think the problem is really cropped up when we've come to leadership, and hopefully these negotiations will continue. I think, you know, the next week or two we'll get a better idea if there's going to be some type of movement forward, at least for this legislative session. As I mentioned, the stopgap measure ended at the end of last year. Right now, we have no budget whatsoever for the first half of this year, and that's unacceptable. It's dysfunctional, and it's certainly not moving the state forward. I always believe there is a way forward, a way to compromise on these issues, but so far we've not been able to reach that point. But again, I think both sides have to be willing to reach an agreement, and that hasn't been the case right now. And unfortunately, there seems to be some signs that people are already posturing for the 2018 gubernatorial election, and that would make it even more extremely difficult to reach any type of agreement. There has to be some type of ability to reach middle ground, to compromise, to come up with some type of agreement. That means you're going to not get everything you want. You may have to accept some things you don't want, but that's how a democracy works, and that's how we're going to get a budget.
To expand on that a little bit, how does the potential state budget, or lack thereof, of course, affect Northern Illinois?
Well, right now, with no stopgap, there are mainly two areas that really are in jeopardy. Even without any type of budget whatsoever, 90% of the budget remains funded. Money continues to pay for programs and services. Any program or services that are covered by court orders or consent decrees will continue. The governor has signed bills such as K-12 education, which allows school doors to remain open. So that's a good thing. So 90% of the budget continues. We're on autopilot, so to speak, even though we have no appropriation method. The problem is, with no appropriation method, there are two major areas in state government and state services that are not covered. One is higher education, colleges and universities, and human services programs. That 10% of the budget will not be able to continue, and that's a real cause for concern. So obviously Northern Illinois, you have NIU, you have local colleges and universities that will receive no funding whatsoever. And I think it's been a very difficult 2 years as it is, and now they're back in the same situation they were before the last stopgap measure. You know, where will that funding come from? Tied in with that is MAP grants for students. Low-income students need some help furthering their education. And they're back where they were 6 months ago, not sure what their future will be and whether colleges and universities will continue to foot the bill while the state tries to figure out its problems. And, of course, we have human services programs. I'm really concerned about our safety net fraying or continue to fray if we have no budget in place. These are programs that will help keep seniors in their homes, mental health services that many are dependent upon, these types of programs that are really important for people's livelihoods, and they're not going to be able to be paid for. And so that's the real concern on the human level. What will happen to people if we're not able to get some type of budget agreement moving forward?
Other than the budget, what issues do you feel most directly affect the 34th District?
Education, I think, is hugely important for a number of reasons. I look at it from an economic development standpoint. If we don't have a trained workforce, a quality education, people don't have the job skills and job training that businesses need, that's going to affect us in so many ways. So I really look at a strong educational system and the adequate funding mechanism in place that we're trying to review as important to this area, not only for the quality of education and what students will get, but also economic development and making sure we have a trained workforce. I think that's really critical for businesses staying here and trying to attract businesses to this area.
Are there any counties or municipalities in particular in your district that are of particular concern?
Well, I think things are relatively stable. I mean, I think many local governments are dealing with deficits, finding it very difficult to trying to balance the budget. So they're either looking at cuts or ways of raising revenue. But I mean, I think for the most part, local governments are relatively stable. It doesn't seem to be in a crisis mode at this point. But, you know, with the state government as dysfunctional as it is and as unstable as it is, I mean, it's more cause for concern. I don't think they need any more potential problems with revenue coming from the state if we're not able to resolve our problems. But, you know, I think it's still a difficult process, but I think most local governments and municipalities seem to be relatively stable.
Besides the budget, are there any issues or subjects that you feel have been neglected at the state level?
Well, I guess I would go back to education. I mean, I think we've known for a long time that the state funding formula is unfair. And even though people are aware of this, there's not been a political will to do something about it. And there's been a lot of efforts the past 36 months. We in the Senate did pass two different changes to these funding formula plans. But again, weren't able to get across the goal line and get a bill on the governor's desk. So I think that will continue to be an area of extreme importance. So while we're aware of it, we'll just not be able to get a job completed. So I guess that, to me, education funding is one area that the state really has not stepped up and done its job.
With the increasingly partisan atmosphere in both state and national politics, in what ways would you reach across the aisle?
I think it's just trying to find areas of common ground. As I said, there's a path forward with the current stalemate. I mean, I think there are issues that can get bipartisan support both sides can agree on. So you have to make sure that you find those areas of commonality, find that middle ground, and hopefully that builds to a larger agreement. Everybody wants to, you know, to end this. They may not agree on everything, but trying to find that middle ground, areas you can agree on, and hopefully that can expand to other areas, that's how you begin trying to get out of this stalemate.
Finally, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think it's one issue that really will be one to watch for the next 6 months to a year is the future of the Affordable Care Act at the federal level. There have been some indications from President-elect Trump and the Republican-controlled Congress that they want to do away with the Affordable Care Act. Medicaid is a huge portion of the state's budget. So if Congress, President-elect Trump, decide to scale back the Affordable Care Act or get rid of it altogether, that will have a huge impact on the state's budget and our ability to provide quality health care. There's been a lot of proposals touted at this point and a lot of details that still are really not have come forward. So if, for example, the federal government really decides to scale back on its commitment to Medicaid, that will have a huge impact and on our ability to provide health care and for the state of Illinois to balance its budget if Medicaid programs are scaled back.